The contract between the Writers Guild of America and the major Hollywood studios expires at midnight tonight. The two sides have been negotiating off and on for several months. If the writers and producers cannot bridge their differences over financial and creative issues, the writers have threatened to strike. NPR's Andy Bowers reports from Los Angeles.
The Writers Guild and studio executives have imposed a news blackout around their talks. So like his 8,000 fellow members of the Guild, movie and TV writer Terry Curtis Fox can only wait for tonight's deadline to learn whether he'll soon be walking a picket line. But as far as Fox is concerned, the issues at stake are certainly worth the risk. At the top of his list is raising the level of residuals writers get when their work is rerun on cable or overseas.
I believe half of our members do not work in any given year. A quarter of the working writers receive less than $30,000, that is, they'd write 1 hour of television, say. And the residual check is what keeps people going in times when their careers aren't going. And this is a very, very major issue.
The writers say they accepted lower residuals for cable and the newer broadcast networks when those institutions were starting out, but the payments should now approach those from CBS, NBC, and ABC. The writers also want a bigger cut of home video and DVD sales and to give their union jurisdiction over internet films. Then there are the creative issues, says Fox, such as how screenwriters these days are routinely barred from the premieres and even the sets of movies they wrote.
If a director really objects to the writer being there, that's fine. However, we want the default to be that the writer should be there, hearing how a particular actor is reading those words to be able to adjust them. That's very fundamental.
And the writers hate what's called the possessory credit, which labels a movie a film by John Doe, when John Doe is almost always the director. However, Peter Bart, currently editor of the industry newspaper Variety, says there is another side to those creative demands.
I've worked on pictures in my days as a producer and studio chief where I found the writer's presence a real distraction on the set, in that actors would see their favorite writer standing by and would turn to the director and say, you know, I can make this scene a lot better. Just give me an hour, you know, and come back in 5 hours with maybe two different lines of dialogue.
As for the writer's financial demands, Peter Bart says the Guild may have an especially tough negotiation this time because it's now facing studios that have in recent years become parts of much bigger conglomerates.
The multinational corporations that own Hollywood, companies like Sony and Vivendi and Rupert Murdoch's News Corp and Viacom, want to redesign the economics of the entertainment business so they can maximize their profits.
The studios say if the writers win their financial demands, actors and directors might want the same deals, costing the industry billions of dollars. The writers dispute those numbers. Regardless, no one doubts that a writer's strike would shut down scripted TV and movie production in Hollywood. That means everyone from top-tier actors to costumers to set construction workers would be idle. And in a town so dependent on one industry, the ripple effects would be even greater. That's why Los Angeles Mayor Richard Reardon has thrown himself into the picture. Last month, he released a study he commissioned about what a strike by writers and perhaps actors when their contract expires in 2 months could do to the region.
Make no mistake about it, a prolonged strike could plunge our city and our county into recession. Los Angeles could suffer a $4.4 billion revenue loss.
In fact, he said the economy is already suffering following the end of a huge surge in production in recent months as studios tried to stockpile material for a potential walkout. To drive home his point, Reardon has been staging press conferences with business owners who depend on film production to survive. People like Steve Michelson, whose film catering business has been around for 40 years.
If there's a strike, not only will I have to lay off many of my employees, but I may even have to close our business. You know, we've weathered strikes in the past, but the combination of the runaway production, not enough work, and a strike would be very devastating.
Runaway production is one way media companies have found to save money in recent years, by moving film and TV production out of Los Angeles to places with cheaper labor, such as Canada and Australia. And it seems the workers most hurt by runaway production are least likely to support a writer's strike. The Teamsters have already said they won't, and here's what a caller to NPR's Talk of the Nation had to say last week. John is a prop builder, what Hollywood calls a below-the-line profession, as opposed to higher-profile jobs like acting, directing, and writing.
And I'm concerned that as the above-the-line people get more and more money, they're going to want to take $1.50 out of 500 guys like me and go to Canada and have them do all the grunt work.
The rumor is that talks between writers and the studios may continue past tonight's contract expiration if progress is being made. A more firm deadline comes later this month when TV networks have to decide on their fall schedules. If there is a strike, the networks will probably fill those schedules with more so-called reality shows, which don't need scripts. Andy Bowers, NPR News, Los Angeles.